Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Paranormal Saloon. How's everybody doing? I got a great guest tonight, and I've had her on before. But I had her on a different program. I had her on Studio 6 Paranormal Podcast, which was some years ago. So, you know, It's been a while, so let's get her in here and let's see what she's been up to. Hi, Jill.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, so like I said, we've known each other, you know, for a long time. I had you on my show, the Paranormal Podcast at Studio 6 with me and Shane Feek, and I think that I did it by myself. I don't think Shane was there that time, but yeah. So it sounds like you've got a lot coming up, or that you've had a lot in the last few years. So you've got another new location.
So I started off with the Boyd House there in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of redid that one, kind of brought it up and got like a new roof and a bunch of other stuff. And, you know, we're still ongoing process with it. Mm-hmm. But then I just decided I kind of wanted to try my hand at a little bit bigger building. So I was just kind of looking around and I came across this haunted 1861 Masonic Lodge. So that one actually is located in Illinois. So that wasn't really my plan. But when I saw the building, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to have this building. So
wow. Where in Illinois is it
located?
In
Keysburg, Illinois. So just not really super familiar because I just got it in 2023. We just opened in 2024 for investigators. So it's more like we're about an hour from the Quad Cities. We are about 3 hours from St. Louis, Missouri. So we're just kind of down in that area.
What's the name of the town?
Keysburg, Illinois.
Keysburg. Just, you know, because I live on the border of Illinois and Wisconsin, so I'm just wondering how close it is to me.
Yeah, sometimes 3 hours. A lot of the bordering cities like that, it's not very far.
Mm-mm. No. So how has the success of your Boyd House been going?
Oh, it's been phenomenal. We've had tons and tons of people come in. A lot of different experiences that people have been having, a lot of touching, a lot of equipment interaction, EVPs, shadows. It's just been running the whole gamut for people coming in. So they've been really excited for having people out.
Right. Do you allow filming on that location?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we definitely like any publicity that we can get. Usually a lot of times I have to, not everybody shares stuff with me and I love seeing what people do. So a lot of times I just search myself on YouTube and I'm like, oh, hey, new video. And so then I'll share it after I watch it and stuff. I like seeing what everybody does, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the last time that, we had talked, you were just really getting going and some of the investigations, and I've kind of kept up and seen some posts that you have on Facebook. My friend and my mentor, Shauna Maria, has been there a couple times with her group and Chasing Paranormal as well. I'm really curious to see, you know, what they've caught and this and that. Do you have do you create any certain events, or is it just kind of open to the public?
We pretty much over investigations. We do have a couple events that we have ongoing this year. They're already sold out, which one is we did a 2-night back-to-back with Chasing the Paranormal for investigating. The Mini Ghosta, they're doing an investigation in May. That is sold out as well. But we are hosting a paranormal convention down in Boyd, September 27th. So You can visit our website at boydhouse217.com for information on that. So we got a lot of different psychics and different paranormal investigators doing workshops. We have speakers, vendors, paranormal investigations at night at the Boyd House. So just kind of a fun day for everyone so they can check
that. Right. Yeah, it sounds like it. What's the date for that?
That's September 27th of 2025.
Oh, wow. Yeah, most of the stuff that happens in some of the paranormal stuff is mostly in the summertime and the fall and maybe some spring. But like me, I can't stand the cold and I'm living in the wrong state. But, I've gone to a couple different paracons in the last few years. And, they were kind of like a dime a dozen. I mean, they were kind of popping up everywhere. And now they're just kind of slowly on the downside a little bit because of the fact that people really couldn't afford to go to these events. And even for vendors, I mean, it was like they were struggling to, make ends meet to do so. And I hope that this next year and the years coming ahead will be a little bit different so people can start really having some finances in their pocket so that they can do that. Because, doing some of these paracons is important to the paranormal community just because, it's networking, it's meeting new people and, getting involved in community. And so I think it's really important, so whatever, you guys are doing with the Paragon in September, that's great. Send me a link or whatever, and I'll try to promote it the best I can.
Yeah, for sure. I will send that to you.
Mm-hmm. So what else would you say that you have going on besides the two locations?
We're putting on a event at the Masonic Lodge as well. That one we still have tickets for. That's with Eternal Paranormal. I believe they're out of Bettendorf or somewhere in the Quad Cities area of Iowa. And they're going to be doing investigations. So that's going to be Saturday. That's May 3rd. And that's going to be from 6 p.m. until midnight. So you can do a paranormal investigation. So we limited to 20, so we only have 10 tickets left available. And again, you can find that on Eventbrite, or if you find us on Facebook, you'll see a link that'll take you right there.
Right. So speaking of these locations, I think I asked you last time a little bit of the history of the Boyd House. Can you kind of just refresh my memory a little bit about the Boyd House and what some of the prevalent hauntings have been there at that location?
Yeah, so the Boyd House was built in 1901. The predominant family that moved in there would have been in 1912, and that would be the Eckhart family, Fred and Minnie Eckhart. Two of their children passed away in the home. One was an infant, and one, he was about a year and a half. He choked to death in the house. Both Fred and Minnie passed away in the home. And Minnie's funeral was held in the home for 3 days, but they were very well known in the community as they owned one of the more upscale type grocery type stores. They sold, the furs and shoes and, specialty items, homemade bologna. And he was also on the fire department. He was also the justice of the peace. He helped build the church. He was on the farm bureau. So very, very well respected man in town. So I think we do get quite a bit of different like EVPs or things on Spirit Box that said Fred's here, Fred's coming. So we do believe that he for sure is one of the spirits that linger in the home.
Oh, wow. Wow. So now, how long have you owned that building?
That was in 2018 when I purchased that one.
Okay. So who had the building before you? I mean, the previous owners, how long did they have it for?
I believe it was 20 or 30 years. So they were real hesitant to talk about it, but they did have some minimal paranormal experiences in the house. They kind of chose to ignore it. One of their family members, she had a lot of interaction with the different spirits. Like she would see them, she would be touched, she would hear things. I did show her a picture of Fred, and she had never seen a picture of Fred before. And she said, "Oh my gosh, that's the man I've seen here in the house."
Oh, wow.
So, So yeah, so kind of a long history. We've had people and previous owners say that they have been touched, people who have slept over when they were teenagers, saying they saw like a man sitting in a chair downstairs. They had maybe their blankets pulled off in the middle of the night. So it's kind of got a long history of, activity not really welcomed by anyone until I got it. So
Right. And why do you think that is? Why do you think that the spirits more so would be more able to interact since you purchased it?
I think we give it a little bit more energy and a little bit more attention. We are coming there. We are wanting to engage with them. They do seem to really want to interact with people. They do, touch equipment. They work with things on command as far as the equipment goes, if they're wanting to respond with you for that day. So they're very highly intelligent spirits. They like to play cards with you using K2 meters. It's just, yeah, it's endless on what they do.
So how far is Boyd from the Minneapolis?
That is about 3 hours from, so we're about 145 miles southwest of the Twin Cities.
Okay. How close are you to Wisconsin border then?
Quite a ways, Wisconsin, because it's such a big state.
Right.
I think, depending where you are, I mean, you can be looking anywhere from 6 to 8 hours,
Okay.
from Wisconsin. Yeah.
Right,
So
okay.
we're more closer. We're like an hour from Brookings, South Dakota. So we're like way down there.
Oh, you're way down.
Way
Oh,
down in
okay.
the southwest corner. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were on the other side. Okay, I guess I learned something new. So yeah. So talk a little bit about the lodge that you just purchased. Can you give us some details on what led you to do so, and what kind of activity is been reported at that location?
Well, like I said, I was looking to branch out and just try a little bit bigger building, versus Boyd just being a house. With this being the Masonic Lodge, it had just that history. It's got that look. It's got that charm to it. It's all brick. It's about 4,000 square feet. It's got a basement, main floor, upper floor, but all the woodwork is still pretty much natural. So there's just a lot of mystique that goes on with it. And then now that I purchased it, I found out actually, so this was like the second building that was erected in this town. And in the 1800s, it was actually the Arlington Hotel, which was also part of a brothel. And then in the
Oh.
1900s is when it actually became the Masonic Lodge. So it's got quite
Okay.
a bit of history. We're still learning about like what happened with the hotel, what happened with the lodge. So we're just really digging that stuff up yet. But yeah, it's been fascinating. We've had just a gamut of things. Like for me being there, I get a lot of good, really good EVPs. I've gotten ones that like, I can see you. Just some just really crazy things off the top of my head. I can't think of everything I've gotten now, but a lot of equipment interaction. What I like with the lodge is we do not have any power to the building. So when you get a
Oh,
lot of
wow.
like when you don't get any, when you get a lot of the EMF readings, that's a little bit more valid for me. I've had a China hutch that we've had. I've gotten, people have donated Masonic items, and I put a K2 meter in there, and that started it going off to the red.
Oh,
And
wow.
it's not like it constantly goes off. We just caught it on film going off a couple times. The trip wire will get going off quite often as well. For me, like one of the craziest things with the trip wires, I was just in the building by myself, and I had a trip wire running towards me. I was reading one of the prayers out of the book that morning, and all of a sudden I could just feel like this intense energy level coming at me. And as that was happening, the trip wire was coming, lighting towards
Toward
me.
you. Oh, wow.
Towards me. And then all of a sudden, I just felt like this zap on the bottom of my foot, almost like I got electrocuted or touched an electric fence, that I had to pull my foot up off the floor very quickly. And that
Wow.
was just really weird, because there's a sec another time I was upstairs just feeling that intense energy, and all my equipment went off at the same time, because I was like, I don't know, is this you guys doing this? And all of a sudden everything went off. at the same time. Wow. So it's just, it's been crazy. You know, like I said, we're still learning everything, but other investigators have come, they've been touched, audible voices, mm-hmm. equipment interaction, shadow figures. Mm-hmm. And it does have a history of being haunted. We have several people in town talk about this lady in white that they have seen. And one of the old masons actually had came when we had just bought it and we were there cleaning and stuff. And he stopped by and he introduced himself. And then the first words out of his mouth is like, "Have you seen her?" And I said, "Who?" And he goes, "The woman, I've seen her. She roams the halls upstairs. I've seen her multiple times, especially when I know I'm the only one in the building." I'm like, "Well, I haven't seen her yet, but I hope I do." Right. So it was, it's kind of good that you have the validity of that. And I had another story of a person who had come into the lodge and had seen a woman like scrubbing the floors on her hands and knees. And she said, "Hello." They said, "Hello." She walked into the kitchen. She's like, "Hey, who's scrubbing the floor?" And they're like, "Nobody's here." And of course they walk out there and then nobody's there. So yeah, it's kind of right. cool that.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I've yet to actually see a figure at the lodge, but I'm hoping one of these days.
Right. So you said you've had a lot of different teams go in there. What do you charge for visitations for
So for the lodge, it is $350 a night, and we allow you to bring up to 10 people. We allow investigations from 3 p.m. till the noon the next day. I like to give people enough time to come in and just check the place out. Boyd is the same way as far as the time, you know, 3 p.m. till noon the next day. But for the Boyd, it's a little bit smaller. So it's only 2,100 square feet. So we allow 8 people. And then the price on that is $225 a night.
Well, that's reasonable. You know, I mean, that's probably one of the first times that I've actually heard somebody that's got a reasonable charge for their haunted location. I mean, I've heard some people that charge in up to $700 to $1,000 plus, you know, and I can't see it. I know that they want to make money, but I just can't see that. Unless you have, like I said before, unless you are independently wealthy ghost hunter or, you know, investigator, then yeah. That's just, but so I commend you on, that's a reasonable price that you charge. And I think that's great. You know, people with 10 people or even 8 people can actually afford that when they split it. You know what I mean? So it makes more sense. So I commend you on that. I was really kind of worried. I didn't know how high you were going to go with what you were going to charge. You know, I wanted to know, and it's kind of not surprising for people that have other locations of what they charge. It's just kind of been the going rate, but as of late, it's kind of hard to find few of those ones that are priced more reasonable like yours is. So I have no problem, you know, trying to promote either one of those houses. So give me the links and I'll put it up there.
Yeah, for sure. I'll do that. I think, you know, being an investigator too, that kind of helps. Because I do know the cost of everything because I do go to these places, you know, I go to other places and hey, everybody's entitled to what they pay. You know, I kind of just mind to make mine affordable. I need to pay the bills too. And you know, try to get some money, get some restorations, but I want to make it affordable for everyone to come. You know, I don't want to be able to be put out of a bracket to where like, oh, if I don't have 75 people, I'm never going to be able to afford this. So, So I know exactly how it is. So, and you know, hopefully with times going on, you know, I hopefully don't have to raise it. I know when I got Boyd, I think we've gone through just 2 price changes since I bought it. You know, but that's just with me. I mean, I get charged more with taxes and things like that. So there's a lot of overhead that people don't I didn't realize either. You know, when you go to these places and you rent them out and you do the investigation, you never really know, you know, with the taxes, the insurance, you know, maybe they still have mortgage or loan on that too. So there's just a lot of things. And then the upkeep, of course, too. So there's a lot of expenses that I didn't realize as a business owner. that you have to undertake, but it's worth it because I like restoring the buildings too, and I love the history.
Right. So, you know, since you've had these two buildings, tell me a little bit about before you actually owned these buildings, and what was your life kind of like? Were you investigating, or were you thinking about being in the paranormal, or have you always been in the paranormal? So,
yeah, I mean, I've always been fascinated about it since I was a young kid. You know, I was like the weird, spooky, macabre stuff. But with the advent of TV, when that came out with all the ghost hunting shows, I didn't realize that was something you could actually do. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of met a guy at work that was interested in ghosts, and he kind of said he'd been on a couple investigations. We got to talking. So we ended up forming our team called St. Croix Paranormal. And then throughout the years, we gathered some group members. Some came, some go. We kind of stuck with a group four core now since 2018. Since 2010. And we've been traveling. At that point, we traveled around all over the U.S. to well-known haunted locations mm-hmm. to get evidence, just doing investigating and just going to really some really cool, awesome places. So,
right. Were there any place that sticks out in your mind of you visiting?
Oh, there's so many different things. It's like almost everything has like just a little something to every right. story. You know, like our first place was the Villisca Axe Murder House. So I was absolutely terrified to be right. there because that was our first, you know, real, you know, prior to that, we just did businesses that had like some, you know, some haunts or private homes. But the, mm-hmm. you know, the story that goes with, you know, the Villisca Axe Murder House with the kids, you know, was it
right.
two adults and six kids being murdered, never found the killer. So I was pretty freaked out that night. We did get a lot of great stuff. We got some Class A EVPs there. The kids were just saying, I want to touch your things. We came in the house. We said, hello. And you had a girl answer, we're right here. They actually talked to each other. We had one that says, you want to play? And the other one said, no way. one of the other EVPs was, you know, one of the girls who got murdered was Lena. Just watching a show one time, I had a psychic. She said that, you know, Lena likes to mess with the guests, you know? So we got an EVP that said, no, Lena, no. Like one of the older boys was telling her, no, no, hey, whatever she was going to do, don't do that. It's just really cool. You know, we had little pebbles thrown out. I felt off, you know, down through the grates. We had the REM pods go off. So it was pretty, really cool to get that evidence, but I just faced my friend Krista the whole night, and I'm like, don't turn away from me when we tried to sleep.
Right.
So, yeah, I just remember that first right. one. You know? So, and now it's just like, oh, boy, wherever I'm at, I blow up an air mattress. And, you know, it's like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm out, done, tired, getting up to age. I got to drive. So,
right.
I can sleep anywhere nowadays.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've never been to that house. I lived in Iowa for a while, a long time, actually, all the way at the other end towards Nebraska. So that house wasn't too far from me, but, you know, I've read stories about it and talked with other mediums about it. And it's really kind of reminds me a little bit of the whole Lizzie Borden house, too. You know, that's one of the places that I would love to go to is that house. But yeah, it's just, there's so many different ones that people don't know about or that, you know, that are really active and then people really don't want to talk about it. So, but because this is a murder house, so to speak, which it is, you know what I mean? That kind of draws that in. I mean, when they made that, where they did the tours with it. I mean, I remember it kind of blew up everywhere and TV shows were there and, you know, so yeah, I've never been there. I don't know if I ever will go there, but, it's, you know, it's cool that the owners, you know, keep it going and, you know, people, you know, like to take tours of that place. So, yeah. Which is kind of morbid. It's kind of morbid if you think about it. Well, I mean, yes. You know, really, you know, to be honest with you, it's not probably the best thing to say. Oh, it's really cool if you take a tour of the Liska murder house, and it's like, yeah, that's not what I meant. You know what I mean? So it's there. It takes a certain group of people to be able to look at it that way. You know what I mean? You know, it's a sad story, and it's a tragedy, and it was terrible, you know. But yeah, it's just, it is what it is. But is there another location that you went to that you really had some crazy, you know, evidence or something that really kind of just happened to you or moved you in a way?
One of our most things that happened was Whispers Estate. That's in Mitchell, Indiana. So I don't know if people are familiar with that, but it's got a pretty negative, pretty heavy vibe attached to it. There was a doctor that did a lot of unethical things to his patients. His daughter was, I think it was like Christmas Eve. She was burnt in a fire, and then he ended up mercy killing her with an overdose of morphine. They had a little boy that died there. And then they had like their caretaker, who was a really crabby guy. The day he retired, as he was putting his tools away in the closet upstairs, he dropped dead of a heart attack in front of it. And so there's a lot of negativity associated with that closet. So a lot of people get like pushed or scratched, locked in that closet. When I say big, it's a big walk-in closet. They have a little table in there. They have a couple chairs you can sit on. The owners didn't want to go up there if the door was unlocked. We, of course, then we have to go sit in that closet, of course, while we're there. But we were sitting in there, and I had heard this voice in my head that said, get out of this closet. And I didn't tell it to my friend, but I have a fear of getting locked in places. So I just thought, okay, I'm just being my panicky spot, but I'm just going to get out. So I didn't say nothing. Right. And then as minutes later, because we were running the spirit box at the same time, it said, shut this door. And we didn't do that either. And so just shortly after that, her and this chair that she was sitting on, she came launching out of the closet. And it was about 4 feet across the room that her and that chair were thrown. And she physically said that, or she could feel, she said like they physically had picked up the chair and then pushed her.
Wow.
If she had just fallen out of the chair, she would have been right there in the closet doorway, but she was not. She was way out in the middle of the hallway. So that was kind of freaky. We had gotten really weird vibes all night long. It was that she had gotten scratched earlier during the day, right when we were taking the tour. And then the whole night, everybody was kind of the constant cobweb. Like, you just did this the whole night. It was just driving us crazy. One guy left. He went outside for the rest of the night. He couldn't even come in the house anymore. And I'd seen like wet footprints coming up from the basement going outside, and none of us had been down there. So wow. It was just a weird, creepy house. We tried to get some sleep for a little bit, just laying on the floor. And my friend Stephanie, who wasn't going to be driving at all, kind of stayed up and watched over us. And she said she just played on her phone, but she's like, there were shadows. They were running. I just didn't want to look. So she's like, you know, so that was a freaky, creepy house. We said we'd never go back, but we did about 4 years later. Teresa, the one who got thrown, refused to come back. So we didn't get as much energy or as activity that we had the first time.
Right.
But we all got stuff. Like, we had some REM pod action, a couple EVPs and stuff, but nothing. We didn't even have like the cowboys, but nothing like we had experienced that first time around.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. I actually, every house that I've pretty much ever lived in has activity, except for the one I'm living in now, which is nice because it's quiet.
Yeah.
But, when you were talking about where she, your friend was laying there and she was, you know, seeing shadows and she didn't want to say anything or wake up and she just like, whatever, I'm going to ignore it. I actually had a friend of mine in high school who was staying with me in my bedroom, and this house, was from the early 1800s or late 1800s to early 1900s. And, I'd have, you know, in high school, I'd have friends that stay the night and hang out and whatever. And I always sleep on the floor and I let them have the bed in the bedroom. And I woke up one night and I seen him in the corner of the bed. huddled up, and I was like, what are you doing? And it's like 3 a.m. And he was like, there's somebody that's going upstairs in your attic, and I seen shadows under the door. And I was like, that's a common occurrence. Go back to bed. And I proceeded to lay back down to go back to bed because I was used to it, and it wasn't a big deal to me. My friends would get freaked out, but yeah, the paranormal never really freaked me out. It didn't, you know, kind of intrigued me more. You know what I mean? But like I said, it takes a certain type of person to be able to just accept certain things like that they happen, or that you have to question why they happen or whatnot. My wife, on the other hand, does not like anything about the paranormal, doesn't want nothing to do with it, which I understand, and that's her thing, and I totally am okay with that. You know what I mean? With me, the paranormal has been a part of my life since I can remember. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Hence why I do this show, you know, or I do other shows about paranormal and stuff, because I really want to hear other people's stories and opinions and things that they've gone through. You know what I mean? Because I do believe that everybody has a story to tell, or a few, you know, and I know that you have a few, and, you know, and this is why I love to hear these, you know, friends and people I don't know tell stories of, you know, their unexplainable incidences in their life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, since you've had, you said that 2023 is when you purchased that lodge, right?
Yeah, 2023. So we opened it up for investigators in 2024 this year.
Oh, okay. Okay. So how booked are you?
You know, it goes in spurts. We're kind of seasonal because we don't have any heat. So then we're just kind of open like mid-April through mid-November at this point. So, yeah, it's pretty steady. You know, we get the Saturdays that are get booked up pretty good. Fridays are kind of the second choice. And then the Sunday through Thursday, pretty minimal. You know, we did pretty good for the first year going out. I think we maybe had 40-ish people, or did teams, 40-ish teams. I would say 40, 50 teams.
Wow. What's been the reception in the town? How big is that town?
There's about 600 people in the town. So
it's really small.
It's small. Yeah. It's been really well received. Some people think we're crazy. But a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, they have ghost stories to tell, you know, and I think there's a lot of ghosts in town because we hear a lot of stories about the other buildings around in town that, you know, the locals have told us. But everybody's been super friendly. It's a really great town. Everybody's been really welcoming. You know, they're really curious as to what we're doing. And it's just been just really, really well received.
Right. Well, that's good. And that's, you know, having it be such a small town, I mean, that kind of probably helps, you know. But, finding out what other people's stories are, especially in a town that small with the lodge and the activity at the lodge and this and that. I wouldn't be opposed to taking my show down there and being able to sit in the lodge and interview people and talk to people about their stories. You know what I mean?
Kind
of put that more so that lodge on the map where people know, you know, where it's at and what they, you know, what you guys have to offer for investigations and all that. Because, you know, I've been trying to find a place to do my show in a live kind of a event where it's at a haunted location, but it's also where I can interview people, especially like bars or restaurants or something like that. You know what I mean? But I'm open to just interviewing town folk and this and that and creating an event to do that, just because the fact that I want to be able to hear the stories. And because that town is so small, I think that there's probably plenty of stories there, you know?
So, oh yeah, for sure. They've told me there was even one guy, we were at the restaurant next door. They have really good food. And he was just talking to me. He's like, oh, I live in that old house right over there. And you could see it from where we're at, an old Victorian house. And he's like, telling me all these stories about like this little kid that runs down the hall and this adult that he sees and all the stuff he was telling me. I'm like, yeah, you let me know if you're going to ever sell that house. So I was like,
right. Right.
So, yeah. So just a lot of stuff that we hear like town hall, you know, that's because it's old school. So they get a lot of stuff there. There's just a lot of the old, I mean, all the buildings are old. They're from the 1800s, you know, it was a booming town back in the day. So I'm sure the whole town is booming full of ghosts there.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I mean, even, you know, some of those really small towns, especially, you know, even go south, farther south, you know, towards like Kentucky or the bottom of Illinois or Missouri, you know, people wanted to live in the middle of the U.S. You know, they wanted to be the first ones to build their Victorian style house, you know, on land where there was no neighbors at the time or whatever. You know, now everything's changed, but you know, I remember seeing some houses that were in the woods of, you know, just south of St. Louis in a subdivision. And this house was an old, big, huge Victorian style house on a hill by itself. And I was just like, and it was so out of place because it was just, there were all these modern houses around and it was the only one in the middle of this. The street went round it. It was just crazy. And
wow.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, it's houses like that, that you kind of, when you see, especially the Victorian era, you know, and I could drive by a house and it'd be like, yeah, okay, there's something there, you know, but yeah, when you get into those old towns like that, I think that the history is so plentiful that you kind of have your pick.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a old river town too. We're about two blocks off the river. So it really was, can't remember their names, just off the top of my head, can't. But there was two brothers, and they used to sell a lot of the lumber to the steamboats that would come by.
Right.
And then eventually this guy for Keysburg came by, and he bought it from them. And see, now I'm just drawing a blank, but I know his name was Keith. So that's why it's Keysburg. So anyway, he ended up purchasing the town from him and made the town is what it was to this day. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it sounds like there's some great stories there too. So now, is there some place that you want to investigate that you haven't been to yet?
I really want to check out the old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Tennessee. I just think that's got a lot of cool history to it. I'd like to check that out. Any castles like in Ireland would be super cool. I think those are just kind of like my places that I'd like to check out as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So any place really, you know, our team now, we kind of gotten, everybody's kind of done their, going their separate ways and stuff. You know, family, school, career changes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of only getting together once a year at this point just to get out and do some investigating. I still go to the lodge or to the Boyd house. And then usually maybe one of them will go with me. So, you know, we'll just kind of mess around and do stuff like that. But as far as like going on any trips to places we haven't been. So we're kind of doing just a once a year kind of thing at this point.
No, and we're all not getting, so, you know, when I started, you know, when I was doing this 7 years ago, it was exhausting then, you know, I wasn't in my 20s then. I was pushing 50. So me being an overnight investigation and whatnot, that was much, you know, I'm like, you guys are crazy. I can't do this whole 9-to-9 issue anymore. I said, you guys are crazy, you know? And then I've got friends that would do it, you know, stay a day and a half. And it's like, ugh. Yeah, too much energy, you know, I'd be drained for a week, but not anymore. That's why I do this. You know, I like talking to people, hearing their stories and whatnot. Don't get me wrong. I still do some remote viewing and investigations for paranormal teams remotely and this and that. But other than that, I just don't. It'll be, you know, kind of like what you say. It's where it's a you know, once a year thing. It's kind of like that for me. I mean, if I go down to Kentucky or Tennessee with my friend and other co-host, Kelly Schaefer, you know, she's got places that she investigates with K2 Paranormal. And yeah, I might go down there. But other than that, yeah, it's things have changed. Oh, and I was going to ask you, what do you think about some of the changes in the paranormal field that is happening now, where a lot of it has been, from what I've discovered, has been more research-based instead of the whole evidence or jump scares? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think people have kind of taken more of a... Well, I guess you can't really say Hollywood because there's no TV shows anymore, but everyone's jumped on the YouTube bandwagon. But right. I think a lot of people, it's been more about the clicks and the likes and the views versus what, you know, really mm-hmm. is, you know, as far as investigating. Not saying that they're not investigators, but I just feel like a lot of them, you know, or you a demon is just being thrown around way too much in this field.
Way,
you know, much. I mean, I agree that there are demons yeah. out there, but the mm-hmm. percentage is pretty slim. So for the amount of demons yeah. that people have been encountering, it's a little too much for me. So,
right, yeah, and it's kind of like anybody with common sense or any spiritual common sense knows that the percentage is very small, and like you said, the amount of that they're claiming that they run into. Either they've got one in their pocket that they throw out every once in a while, or they're kind of making it up. And I'll say it, you know, we've seen a lot of people that are, you know, just wanting to get the likes and the hearts and whatever, you know, for popularity. And it's just like, it kind of reminds me of high school. You know, when you would do things in high school and you wanted the likes and you know, the pop, all that, and people would do crazy stuff to get that. And that's kind of the way it is now, too. Don't get me wrong. There's legitimate people out there trying to find out the research and, you know, put out some good content. But there are a few of them that are in it for the wrong reasons. And I'll call it out every time. It's like, man, do something that you really want to do instead of, you know, just trying to be popular.
Yeah.
Because,
well, right.
There is. And 9 times out of 10, you know, people don't care. People don't give a shit. You know, I mean, unless it directly affects them, they're going to say, yeah, that's pretty cool, but then leave it at that. You know what I mean? So it's just, unless you're a movie star or something, you know, politician, or even then, I mean, even that type of popularity, you know what I mean? It's just like, just be yourself, just do your own yeah. thing, be yourself, you know? And it sounds like, you know, with you having the Boyd House and the lodge, you know, I think that is something that, you know, is great to see that, you know, we are able to still investigate and still find out the history and still find the research, you know, do the research and whatnot. And, you know, it sounds like you've got a good group of people around you concerning with those two businesses.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to have people that support me, you know, especially like my husband, who is not into the paranormal whatsoever. But he deals with what we have going on. He's had a couple experiences at both locations. He's not a non-believer or anything like that, but, you know, he's not one that's looking for it. If I ask him to help me participate in investigations, he's pretty much the camera guy, cause he just can't, mm-hmm. he just can't handle just doing any of the paranormal. It's not his thing. So bless his heart for helping me out at all these locations.
Right. that's far few in between, yes. You know, I mean, so yeah, I mean, I that would be, it would be a crazy day on earth if my wife did anything like that, you know what I mean, where she was helping me to do anything remotely close to paranormal. I probably would be in shock, but like I said, it's not her thing. Just like you said, your husband says it's not his thing. Understandable. But yeah. So what are some of your plans that you have for the building, the new building? Are you working on some stuff? Are you going to ever get any heat in there? Are you going to,
Well, definitely probably I'll never do the heat thing just because the Masons let it go because they couldn't afford to heat the place anymore. You know, it's got four different furnaces and it is very old, and so it is not heat at all. So it wouldn't sustain heat. So we'll still probably continue to be seasonal. We got to get a roof on it. We got to get some windows replaced. She just needs some basic bare bones work as well. We'd like to get the plumbing put back in. We're kind of working with the city because there's a little issue with the piping coming in from the city. So once we get that fixed, we'll be able to actually get an indoor bathroom. Right now we have a porta potty available for people to use. But yeah, we'd like to get that done. And then I'm toying with the electric because I'm not sure. It's kind of like, it's nice to have so that when your K2 stuff and your EMF stuff goes off, you can say, oh, that.
Right.
But then I know how people have right. electricity as well. Usually when I go there, you know, I got backup generators, you know, that just, I plug things in, and right. when the battery's dead on that, then I'm kind of screwed because I don't have any power either.
Right.
It's like camping, you know, so we kind of do that. If you're only there for one day, I've spent 2-3 days there with no power. So, you know, so we'll see for sure though. I do want to get the indoor bathroom done. So we'll,
how long did that stay empty?
I would say, I'm not sure. Cause the guy who bought it, he didn't even live in that state and he was going to make it an event center. And then he never did. I'm not sure how long he had it, but I don't think anybody was there for at least a good year, if not more, before I purchased it. It was vacant when I got it. So yeah. We didn't find anything because they had already kind of cleared stuff out. I was hoping I'd find some of the Masonic stuff, but we did find like a ticket to a play that was uh-huh. done. And then we found, like, I found all the skeleton keys for all the doors. Like I was cleaning a closet and uh-huh. all of a sudden I just kind of was running my hand up and I heard ting. And I was like, ooh, what's this? And then I found all these keys on a nail. Oh, wow. So that was kind of fun. And then somebody was kind of digging around underneath the building and they found an old deck of cards that was up in the rafters. And so they brought that down to me. So we kept that. So we're just a few things that we're kind of finding around the lodge. A bar of gold would be nice, but I don't think I'm going to
find that. Yeah. Right. So are you still kind of searching or running across little things here and there that you didn't know was there? Or?
No, I don't think so at this point, I think there's not too many hidden nooks and crannies there. They've done some remodeling, so unless I pull a wall down or something, I don't think I'm going to find anything really, really cool or anything. But hopefully we'll just continue mm-hmm. to learn more about the history and who was there, especially with the hotel. I would like to dive into some of maybe who some of the guests were and you know, did anybody die there? What happened? You know, I have a picture of it when it was a hotel back in the 1800s. It looks pretty similar. The porch is a little bit different, but it would just be kind of interesting mm-hmm. to get a little bit more history on that.
Wow. That sounds cool. Yeah. Well, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for coming on because we're almost at that hour mark. And I've been trying to keep it at about 50 minutes for my listeners because I do upload this onto my audio podcast. So, I want to thank you for coming on and talking with me. I was really curious about this lodge, and now I know that it's only 3 hours from me. I definitely want to come visit. Yeah. You know, I want to check it out, you know. We'll have to, you know, talk about that. And, yeah, so can you want to tell everybody where they can find you and find the information about the Boyd House and the lodge?
Yeah, so anything for the lodge, you can find us on Facebook. Otherwise, it's the haunted1861masonic.com. That'll get you to our website. It's got a lot of information, our calendar, how to book it, any other questions that you may have. The Boyd House, same thing. You can find us on Facebook. Otherwise, we're boydhouse217.com. And again, that's got all the information, a lot of history, a little video. It's also got a lot of information, too, with the upcoming paranormal convention in September 27th.
Wow. All right. Again, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody for watching. And thank you, Jill, for coming on and talking with me again. And I am excited to see that you've got this great thing going with the Boyd House and the lodge. I think that's just fantastic. So I want to wish you the best in that. And I think that's it, folks. That's it for tonight's show. Tomorrow night's show, I don't have one, I think. And that's a shocker in itself, too. So I will talk to you all later.